Tradition is that he was recaptured and martyred in Rome in 67 AD. And here we have, I've offered it to you, from the first letter of Clement, chapter 1, paragraph 5, a letter that's extant, written at the end of the century, so another 30 years later, by Clement, the fourth of the popes, if a pope just means father, of the leaders of the Roman community. This is what he wrote in that letter. Owing to envy, and he's only 30 years later, for heaven's sake, so don't presume he didn't know and everybody since does. You know, some scholars are just so stupid. I mean, it's the end of the, you know, I think you've got to presume that they knew more than we did. Is that all right? Owing to envy, Paul also obtained the reward of patient endurance after being 7 times thrown into captivity, compelled to flee and stoned. After preaching both in the East and West, he gained the illustrious reputation due to his faith, having taught righteousness in the whole world and come to the extreme limit of the West. Extreme limit of the West sounds awfully like Spain. So maybe he did go to Spain. Maybe he was only there 6 months and came back because of language problems or whatever. It doesn't say Spain, but what else, writing from Rome, could you mean by the extreme limit of the West except Spain? Hence the tradition. And he suffered martyrdom under the prefects. Thus was he removed from the world and went into the holy place, having proved himself a striking example of patience. If you were to read the letters of Ignatius of Antioch, and they're always worth reading, in the opening years of the second century, he speaks of Paul's martyrdom in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 12. If you read Tertullian, writing in the very early years of the third century, in his prescriptions against the heresies, he also talks about Paul's martyrdom. And finally, from Eusebius, written, let's say, about the year 300, the references are there, chapter 2, and he writes this in his History of the Church. After defending himself, the apostle was again sent on the ministry of preaching and coming a second time to Rome, suffered martyrdom under Nero. Peter likewise was crucified under Nero. This account of Peter and Paul is substantiated by the fact that their names are preserved in the cemeteries of that place to the present day. So in the early 300s, now his book was re-edited by him, republished by him. A lot of it was written, let's say, about the year 300, when in 314, on the conversion of Constantine, and then Christianity was allowed, it wasn't made the state religion, but it was an illicit religion for the first time in the Roman Empire, thanks to Constantine, that meant Christians could come into public life as such. And churches were built by Constantine in Jerusalem and in Rome, and his mother's big mansion anyhow on the edge of Rome, that was given to the Christians. You couldn't give them a church in the centre of Rome because the crowd still hated Christians, a lot of them. So Constantine had enough clues, so he gave them one right out on the outskirts, which is where his mother Helena's house was. That became a church. It's now the church of... It's where the relics of the Holy Cross in Rome, if you want to ever visit it. I hope you do. So all this was happening now. He rewrote what he wrote in the light of this extraordinary thing that the Roman emperor is now a Christian and not a persecutor. So we don't know whether this came in the early writing or in the later writing, but anyhow, it's early 300s. And by that time, the tombs of Peter and Paul are still well known, and they're in Rome. Yeah, and we're certain of that. I mean, no one with any sense of history could possibly doubt it. When you go to St. Peter's in Rome now, you can't tell because of the land. But if you went back a bit of history, St. Peter's, the original St. Peter's, built by Constantine, was built on the side of a hill, quite a steep hill. There was a chariot racetrack on the flat, Nero's built that. And then the slope went up quite steeply. And here, halfway up the hill, they had to do a heck of a lot of earth movement, because you don't build halfway up a hill. You build on the flat or on the top or somewhere. They pushed all that down and pushed all this across, and that's where they built it. The second cathedral at the time of the Renaissance was built on exactly the same spot. And if you go to St. Peter's now, there's one altar, there's an altar under that, another altar under that, and they were all built exactly above the tomb of Peter. So you couldn't doubt it. And Paul's is outside the walls, where he was had his head chopped off on the... So their cemeteries are there to the present day. It is confirmed likewise by Caius, a member of the church who arose under Zephyrinus, bishop of Rome, 2nd century. He speaks as follows concerning the places where the sacred corpses of the aforesaid apostles are laid. And this is what Caius says. I can show the trophies of the apostles, meaning their names, you know, written on like a gravestone. If you go to the Vatican or the Ostian Way, you'll find the trophies of those who laid the foundations of this church. That they both suffered martyrdom at the same time is stated by Dionysius, bishop of Corinth, in his epistle to the Romans. You have thus bound together the planting of Peter and of Paul at Rome and Corinth, for both of them planted and likewise taught us in our Corinth, and they taught together in like manner in Italy and suffered martyrdom at the same time. That's why, since the beginning really, the Roman church has been seen as a particularly significant church in the Christian world. That's the reason, because Peter and Paul both died there, and because the first persecution, state persecution of the church was under Nero in 64-5, that period, and the Roman church was just so heroic that people looked to it. The leader, you know, the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle to the Jews, both part of that conflagration or that murder. So people, and because of Rome's political position in the post-Constantine world, obviously, it's the great city of the world, but it also was the Christian community which, by its martyrdom and fidelity under terrific pressure, gave courage to all the ones in North Africa and Asia and Jerusalem and all those areas, gave them courage to hold on to their faith. So they looked to it for kind of moral leadership. Throughout the history of the church, they haven't always got moral leadership from Rome, of course, because you've got human beings, popes as human beings are everything. There are only human beings doing things in this world as people. So, you know, it's been up and down, but that's the reason for the holding on to that.